I told those of us who are regular in the Bible study that the series we've been taking for the past 3 weeks, I told you the whole church will need to know it too, and that I will need to also teach it in the general church, because so many are not able to come for the Bible study. Please, we advise you, always try to get the tapes, because there we have more time, we look at it in a more relaxed atmosphere. We take a lot of teachings during our Bible study every Tuesday in the evening. Amen. And the reason for this topic is very obvious. So many people in Bride Assembly have caught the revelation of the need to serve God. And that is true. That is good. Every born again Christian must, M-U-S-T, must, compulsory. Every member of Christ, there must be something you are doing for the progress of the gospel. There must be something you must be doing. It is a sacrifice you make. You don't do it because it is convenient for you. You do it because it is demanded of you as a born-again Christian. Because no member of the body is redundant. No member of the body is redundant. There is no part of the physical body, because Apostle Paul likened this physical body to the body of Christ. We are one body called Moses Alu, one body, but it's made up of different members. And the names of the members are the hand, the leg, the nose, the eye, the ear, the teeth, and every other one, the ones that can be seen and the ones that cannot be seen. All of them form this one body. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, if one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers with it, if it is properly connected. Amen. If the leg is injured, pains will start. You begin to have headache. The head will react. Every part of the body will react. That is how it is. In a proper setting, every member sitting down here born again, you must have something to contribute. Some of it may be spiritual, by way of exercise of your gift. Some of it will be physical, the least of which includes coming to a church like this to sweep and keep the place clean and ready for service. Or even collecting tracts to distribute. I don't know how to preach, but I can distribute tracts. I know one of these days, one of these will fall into a hand of somebody that will give his life to Christ. It's still part of it. Oh, you are a busy man. You are a businessman. Amen. You don't have time to go for evangelism. You don't have time to come for night vigil, to belong to a prayer group. But that money you are making there can be used, because evangelism can only take place if there is money. So that money that you give for evangelism, to print tracts or to preach the gospel by way of outside crusade or the television ministry, is part of your contribution for the progress of the gospel. Hallelujah. But as so many of us have lost this focus, and all our attention, general attention, generally, is on that aspect where we can be seen and known. Everybody wants to function only in the aspect where they can be seen or known. Among the 12, 9 gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the most coveted of all the gifts is the gift of prophecy. And maybe healing. A working of miracle. Word of knowledge. Something that will make men to know you are something, to identify you. The same thing also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, there's nothing bad about it. Apostle Paul said you should desire that gift. But the same Apostle Paul that said you should desire that gift also came, hallelujah, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and says, he who desires the office of a bishop, that is, if you desire to be a pastor, he said, you are desiring a good work. But he gave the condition. You may desire it and you may not be able to fulfill the condition. If you don't fulfill the condition, that service will not be acceptable before God. So there's nothing bad about you desiring to be a prophet. There's nothing about it desiring to be a pastor, to be whatever position you want to occupy in the body of Christ. There's nothing wrong about it, but you must do it according to the scripture. David made such a mistake, and that is where we are picking our text from, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Shall we open it? If you're there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hallelujah. And I'm reading from, I mean, sorry. 1 Chronicles, not Corinthians. Chronicles, I'm sorry. Chronicles in the Old Testament, not Corinthians. 1 Chronicles. Chronicles. Hallelujah. Chronicles after Kings. Are we there? Can I read now? Listen to the story so that you'll understand what we're talking about. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. He consulted with them. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also of the priests, and also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, for what? And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so. For the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Seir of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjathjearim. Kirjathjearim. Whichever it is, yours. Hallelujah. Verse 6. And David went up, and all Israel, to Bala, that is, to Kirjathjearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up hence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubs, whose name is called on it. Because worship is acceptable only where God has chosen to place his name. Verse 7. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart. Take your Bibles and underline that first statement in your Bible. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart. Underline it. Out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the ark, the cart. Verse 8. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets, wonderful instruments that they used. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Sidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased, because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perezuzah to this day. Perezuzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? Underline that sentence again with your Bible. How shall I bring the ark of God home to me? Underline that sentence. How shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Praise the Lord. Chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's complete that reading. Verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God by the Levites. For them had the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites. Go to verse 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, Shimei, and Eli, and Aminadab, and said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For, now underline the whole of verse 13. Underline the whole of verse 13 for emphasis. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staffs thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. May the Lord add blessing to that reading. And I know even if I don't preach again, you have caught the message. And we are looking at the topic, the due order. The due order. David has just been anointed king of Israel and trying to set the nation in order. Because you can see that throughout the days of Saul, that's one of the reasons God was very angry with Saul. Israel stopped inquiring from the Lord using the ark. The ark of God, that is where he, God, has chosen to place his name there among the cherubs. And it is only where he has chosen to place his name that any sacrifice can be accepted. And for a revelated king of Israel like David, he found it necessary to bring the ark. So his motive was right. He was sincere. But as sincere as he was, he went about it the wrong way. Like I said, if you see where I say you should underline, verse 12 of 1 Chronicles chapter 13. The first thing David was supposed to do, he didn't do it. Verse 12, he said, and David was afraid of God that day, saying, he said, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? How? It is okay. It's a good thing. It is scriptural. It's the perfect will of God that the ark should be in Israel. But before bringing it, it's not an ordinary wood, piece of wood. There is a law concerning that ark. Anything pertaining to the worship of God, there is a laid down procedure somewhere. And remember, Moses had already been given, after all, he was the one that was given the specification for the ark. He built the ark and he laid down the law for everything, including the construction of the ark and how the ark should be carried. But instead, David decided to go, and all the important people that he felt were the big people around, he went to the wrong place for his consultations. Now, and they went and carried the ark of the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, it's recorded that there were 30,000 men. 30,000 of them that went to carry that ark. 30,000 men went and were jubilating because they know the importance of that ark in the land of Israel. As a symbol of the presence of God, is the symbol of his covenant with Israel. 30,000. Imagine a church that is 30,000 members. That is a mega church. And we have so many mega churches today attempting to carry the ark of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 30,000 people, all jubilating, they went and carried the ark this time around with a new anointing, with a new idea. Church, I am preaching the end time message, and the end time message came to open our eyes to see the error that the devil has injected and taken over the church of Jesus Christ. The entire message is a message of restoration to bring us back to the Bible way of doing everything that pertains to salvation. That is what the entire message is. And if you are sitting down here to be part of this great and final move of God before the rapture, it's important you open your ears and hear what we tell you here. That there is no new anointing as far as the gospel of salvation is concerned. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same anointing that came on the day of Pentecost that began the church is the same anointing that will pack us home in the rapture. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Apostle Paul warned us that no other foundation can anyone lay than what has already been laid. And the apostles are those that laid the foundation for this building of the church of Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 2 verse 20 says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. This Bible is the foundation that tells us, gives us our bearing, gives us the specification on what we should do, how we should do, and what we should not do as far as it pertains to salvation. If you are gathering as a group of people because you have chosen to follow the God of Israel that came to the Gentiles with grace to pick up a group of people for himself called the Bride of Jesus Christ, then you better open your eyes and listen, church. That is not everyone that is carrying Bible, speaking in tongue, dancing in the spirits, miracle signs and wonder, that will go in this rapture. And if you can catch that revelation, then you will understand why Apostle Peter said, be diligent to making your calling and election sure. Because many are called, but few are chosen. Few will make it. And that you are right with God is not determined by how large your church is. That you are right with God is not determined by the anointing that is upon you. I say this because these are the areas you must guide against, so that the devil does not deceive you to think that you are right with God because of these things. A lot of testimonies take place. When I minister, there's healing, there's deliverance. When I give prophecy, it comes to pass. Therefore, I cannot be wrong. There is a due order for doing things. David took the ark of God and designed his own way, his own system. A more beautiful system than what Moses wrote down. And then brought an animal. Listen, church. He brought an animal to carry the ark. Today, animals are carrying the ark. The ark of the gospel. The gospel today is being preached by animal. How serpent seeds are preaching the gospel. Now, Abinadab, the gospel had been in his house. Amen. Amen. And when it was time, that I don't know if somebody, God will open somebody's ears to understand the depth of what we are saying. Ahio and Uzzah, they are the two sons of Abinadab, giving us a perfect picture of churches that are run by families. There were the two in front. One of them was driving the ox. Sit down and directing the ox where to go. And the other one was moving around because the road is rough to make sure that the business does not scatter. He was in charge of administration. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then 30,000 Jews were dancing with all manner of instruments. Imagine that type of revival. Suddenly, with all that revival, they needed to know that God was not there. What did God do? He caused the cart to stumble because they were carrying it wrongly. They were carrying it wrongly, church. That is not how God has ordained it to be. And what will they do? God, they didn't know that it was the angel of God that moved the cart to fall down. And Uzzah decided to help it so that the ark will not fall down and scatter. Put his hand there. And God smote him. The man died there. It was when it happened that David knew something was wrong. Then they had to take the ark and go and keep it in the house of Obed-Edom. And then David now went back and began to find out. Now, he now went to the right place to find out. He went to a wrong place for consultation before, but now his eyes were now clear. And what did he find out? He found out that the books is written according to the law. It is only the Levites that were to carry the ark. And there were supposed to be four of them. Two in front, two behind, with staves, sticks that they used in holding and carry it on their shoulder. And everything there, the stave, the Levite, everything about it has something to do with the gospel today. But that is the order it was supposed to be carried. And God was not going to change that order. I am the Lord. I change not. Because everything he does, there is a meaning to it. But not too many people are aware of that. But before they realized that, somebody was already dead. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's true. And we can learn a lot from this story. David made that statement that they found out that they had that breach. They lost one soul because they did not do it according to the due order. According to the due order. There is a due order, the acceptable order of serving God. That's my emphasis here today. So that you can end up with your reward. Because nobody serves the Lord and goes empty-handed. There is the judgment seat of Christ. After the rapture, every one of us will be rewarded. Some receive their reward even while we are alive now, here now. Some, God will purposely wait to see how long you can endure. Because if the reason for serving God is for what you will get from Him, God can also purposely decide to ignore you. Because serving God is not a contract. It's compulsory. It's not a contract. Let me serve God so that this will happen. No. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on the cross on Calvary. Not that I love Him because He promised He will give me a crown. Although the promise is there, but we, revelated Christians, we serve Him because we love Him. We serve Him not for what He has promised to do for us. We serve Him for what we know He has done for us. And it is necessary that you know how to serve this God, because Matthew chapter 7 says that on that they said, not many, not all that say, Lord, 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 shall enter into the kingdom. From verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7, he said, many at that day, at which day there is a day of reckoning, at that day, many will come and say, was it not in your name we did this? We cast out devils. We did all the crusade. We did this. And he tells you, I never knew you. Get thee away from me, ye that walk iniquity. And that is a horrible situation of a man or a woman that gave up himself all through his life, serving God with the whole of his heart, with the whole of his effort, only to discover that all you were doing, God was not interested in it. That's why he said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm talking to those who have made up their mind to serve this God. I'm talking to those who are making sacrifices every day for the advancement of the gospel. Now, from what we want to say now, that you take an inward look at what you are doing and see if you are doing it according to due order. The order that has been set forth. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we have the Pentecostal revival that is going on now, as an example. In this age of Pentecostalism, there's no age that you see all manner of anointing in the whole seven church ages like this Laodicean church age. The seventh church age, the last church age. There is no age where you see miracles, signs and wonders happening everywhere. Churches now counting their members and branches by thousands and hundreds of thousands. This is the age where some churches in Nigeria here, they are richer than some states in Nigeria here. Amen. There are churches that have property in Nigeria here, outside Nigeria here. Hallelujah. Amen. And every member of that church is proud of the revival that is going on in the church, in this Laodicean church age. I read in the newspaper where a church, the bishop of that church, was saying that their budget for that year, for every year, is 6 billion naira. That's what they spend every year for their budget. 6 billion naira. You're talking of property, ownership of property. There are some churches that have own land, property, land, estates. Estates that are bigger than even government-owned lands. Bigger than your village. In fact, the whole of your villages, your local government, put all of them together. The size of all the local government together, you know, reach one land of, in one location that a particular church even has. But while they are bragging, and they tell you In every street, we have 5 branches in every street in Nigeria. So there's a lot of revival going on. Their members, when the whole crusade, the whole city stands still. One stadium cannot contain them. The people of the overflow, they are more than the people inside the stadium. Hundreds of thousands of people follow them. One church says their ambition is to have how many billion members? 10 billion members. That's his ambition. Amen. And I want you to note, that church didn't say we want to have 10 billion converts to Christ, but we want to have 10 billion members of the church.